Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is your partner in success, Denise Griffiths. I am an online entrepreneur. I'm a virtual assistants industry expert, and I'm also a web developer. Today, I want to welcome you to the Online Entrepreneur Audio Interview Series, and I have created this series to provide you with practical guidance from other very successful entrepreneurs who will teach you the key secrets to how they build and grow their online businesses. My intention for this series has always been to empower you to achieve your dreams and live a successful and very accomplished life. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Jack Humphrey to the show. Jack is, and I was just chatting with him before the show, Jack is somebody that I have followed around on the internet for a very long time, longer than I care to say. And Jack is the author of my very favorite blog, The Friday Traffic Report. He also has a great blog talk radio show called The Friday Traffic Report, of course, with Jack Humphrey and Jim Stroud. Just type in his name and you can find his show. I have also put a link to it in the chat room. So today our topic is, as everybody's topic is today, I think, social media. Social media is something that Jack is very much an expert on. He is, in my opinion, one of the people who kind of started the whole Web 2.0, or the acknowledgement, if you will, of Web 2.0. He's been at the forefront of that for a long time. So today he is going to take the time to explore the world of social media marketing and explain exactly why you must do this to succeed online. So first of all, Jack, thank you. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me. I'm so excited that you're here. And as I said, I've followed you around for a long time, and I've learned a lot from you. I've lurked kind of in the shadows, and you know that I've been following you around. You get notes from me every now and then. But thank you so much for all that you do for budding online entrepreneurs and people who have followed you around like me and become successful from learning from you. So thank you and welcome.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for all those kind words.
Well, they're all true. I very rarely lie, and I never.
Well, it's exactly the way I sent it to you in email.
Okay.
Just kidding.
No, I actually.
The money will be in the bank this afternoon.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, so I guess we're done now.
Yes.
So we can hang up.
You did edit out "Oh, Exalted One" or something like that. I remembered something like that in there, but that's okay. You know, I thought that was overkill too.
I couldn't wrap my teeth around that one. So, Jack, tell me how you became the internet marvel that you are. And I'm not speaking lightly about this. When I say I followed you around for a long time, it has been a long time. So tell me and tell my audience how you came to do all these things. I know you started, you didn't start the Web 2.0 thing, but I know you're a huge part of it. And I think people would really like to know what that's all about.
Well, it started well before Web 2.0. I wish we would have had the web we do today back when I was starting, because everything is, and this is going to sound funny for people who have started to look at this from a business perspective and how they can harness Web 2.0, it seems very complicated to people in the beginning. It seems like there's millions of things to do, and people don't know which ones to choose. You can't do it all, and it seems very complicated. But in reality, it's easier to market today than it's ever been on the internet. The tools that we have, as opposed to in the beginning, I mean, in the beginning for me in 98, it was the Warrior Forum, and that was it. That was my community. That was pretty much everybody's internet community. And for business people, learning how to sell things on the web, sell information or do things that were probably considered a little spammy compared to today. Absolutely, definitely were considered spammy compared to today. But we were all learning. We didn't know. Nobody had really defined spam. Nobody had really defined what, you know, how to act on the internet and how to act toward each other. And now we've got this very, very clear delineation. You know, it's all laid out for us, you know, how and where you can go to be a part of really neat groups of people who are completely targeted to certain things and interests and needs, wants, goals, desires, and everybody's just laying the internet is now laid out like a buffet. It's, if you want to find a group of people who would be the most targeted to your products and services, your niche, your message, whatever it is that you're trying to do, it's just out there. It's all laid out. It's laid out in groups that say, by definition, we are a group of people who just got together to do this or say this or accomplish this or whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. And you find those people on places like groups and Facebook, search.twitter.com. You can find people of like minds that you can follow and have them follow you and make connections. It's really quite amazing. Where in the older days, we used to sell information that took a lot of research to find groups of people that you could then blend in with and start interacting with. And that was so hard to do that we could actually sell it as a product. And nowadays, mm-hmm. it's really not necessary. Everything's really well laid out. And while it may seem confusing and everything, the first rule of thumb is not to get into your head that you have to do it all. That there are, you know, the 80-20 rule applies, and 20% of the things are going to get you 80% of the results. And so when you start out, you just have to figure out where you're going to go and spend time, and that's what you're going to do. And if it's not working for you, you move to something else. And if it is working for you, keep doing it and make sure you don't fragment your time too much to make everything that you do not as effective, because you just don't have enough time to accomplish everything that you think you want to do. Mm-hmm. So it's just really fun now. It's never been more fun also to be on the web marketing, and I had always been the kind of person who would always do well in the social web. Had it existed 10 years ago, I would have been very, very happy with that. And mm-hmm. done a lot more. I've been able to do a lot more since the Web 2.0 craze has started, and it's because it suits my nature a lot more. I mean, and it should suit everyone's nature to some extent, because it allows us to be the kind of business people that get the most business offline. The people who call you by your first name when you walk in the door at a barbershop or at, you know, a salon or whatever. Those guys engender strong feelings of attachment and in their customers, and we have now the ability to do that on the internet as well. Those are people you talk about offline. You know, there's this guy I met online. He's got this book, the Authority Black Book, and he teaches you all about this stuff, and he actually answered his phone, or he actually answered my email. And these things were, of course, available to us far before Web 2.0, but I met him on Twitter, or I started following him on Facebook, or things like that. And if you have the perspective of then versus now, you realize what a big deal that is. If you don't, just be happy that, you know, these things have developed, and take heart in the fact that it's a lot easier than it used to be. A lot easier than it used to be.
It is. And like you, I have that perspective. I've had a web development company for about 10 years, and look, it was difficult to find people to drive them to my company mm-hmm. online. I mean, you had to use Google AdWords, and, you know, of course, I followed Joel Kalm around for a while, as I'm sure you have, and mm-hmm. you know, we had to really work. I mean, work, it was a daytime job to get people to get to our websites.
Yeah.
So now it's much, much easier. The problem, and you touched on this very briefly, is that people do get fragmented, and I hear this from my clients and from students all of the time, people who I mentor or coach. There's so many things to choose from. Which ones do I do? And like you said, it's a buffet. So it can be very confusing. And very.
Do you have to exercise the same restraint at a real buffet
yes,
as
exactly.
you do on this one?
You really do.
So it's really the same thing. I mean, your eyes are always bigger than your stomach at
yeah.
a buffet, and you learn through trial and error through your life that when you go to a buffet, you pace yourself.
mm-hmm.
And you know that you can't eat everything. And this is the same exact thing. You just have to, you know, I generally just tell people to go for the biggest things first. You know, get your Twitter account, get your Facebook account, get a StumbleUpon account, and play with those things, get to know them really well, get to know them inside and out. A lot of people will, when you know, just like on a regular buffet, you leave a lot of food on the plate. A lot of people will join too many sites and get involved in too many sites, and they never really get a good understanding of any one of them. and how to use them properly and most effectively for their business to get traffic back to your site. That's what it's all about. And get traffic and get people attached to you so that when they do land on a page in your system that asks them to become a client or buy a product or buy an affiliate product, that whatever is on that page itself is a foregone conclusion. It's just details. It doesn't matter. Because I've already forged this relationship with this person. They wouldn't lead me wrong, or I'm very confident that they wouldn't. I'm going to take the face value of all of this that I've learned about this person through their Facebook updates and their Twitter updates and their blog, that they're sincere. So I'm going to give them a chance, and I'm going to buy this product. Now, if you fail them, if that product isn't living up to its name, or you consult them and your consulting isn't, you know, that's a whole other issue. But let's assume that everybody that listens to your show has a great product, great service, an awesome customer service, fulfillment, everything. And given that constant, then really what we're concerned with is that journey that people take to your most crucial actions that you want them to take when interacting with you, as far as what comes, you know, what your bottom line is, what makes you money. And it can be a long and I don't know, zigzaggy kind of path. And it can take, you know, weeks or months before somebody ever buys anything from you because, you know, they see you, and everybody has internet ADD. So they see you, they might see your Google profile, and they check out some links. And, of course, none of those links are links to your sales pages. Or maybe they are. Maybe they did take one, but they don't know you well enough. And so they take a couple other links and they go and learn more about you, and they find some resources that you put up, and they really appreciate that. They answered, you know, a question of theirs that has been burning, and they're like, wow, this person really helped me out. And eventually, you know, that person is still in your sphere. They're still in your sphere of influence if they go away that day and come back again, because the way you set your net up, your social net, is they're going to run into you again. And this goes all the way back to my first book, Power Linking. Is the goal of Power Linking was to show up everywhere your target market surfs, and just always be there, always be right around the corner. And they click on a link that they see someone else recommending, and all of a sudden it's you again. My goodness, this person just keeps coming up and up and up. I'm going to go look at what they've got to offer. Their free information is great. I'm going to go look at what they've got to offer because they must be somebody. Now there's social proof. There's other people recommending you in your social net, and it's not just you saying how great you are. It's other people. And eventually that person, and this is replicated over and over and over with hundreds or thousands of people eventually, so that you're not really doing that much work. You're just being present. You're providing good information on different networks. You're putting out good links on Twitter to neat resources that are relevant to why people follow you. You know, people will follow you based on what you say about yourself on Twitter, and they'll even find you that way. They'll use keywords. And if you're a CPA and you give out CPA tips, accounting, Excel, all that kind of stuff, people will follow you for that reason. They expect to see really good links to neat stuff related to that, at least some of the time. And when you're making that kind of a, and they also need to see links from you to show a little bit more about who you are as a person. It can't always be CPA all the time. That's boring. You know, people have lives. CPA is just a profession. You know, being an accountant is your profession. Accountants also go kayaking and skydiving and ride bikes and hike, and, you know, they do stuff that's outside of their profession. And that's what we have to realize too as marketers, is that people want to see who we are outside of our profession. And that's a real big point that people tend to forget. And they're all business all the time. And nobody likes to follow anybody that's all business all the time.
It's very tedious. You're correct. And there is a fine line between putting out too much personal information. Nobody wants to know about your rash, but they do want to know.
Right. I guess I should. Yes, thanks for putting the brakes on that.
Oh, sorry.
We don't want too much TMI either.
No, I mean, you have to. There is a fine line, and you do want people to know you and warm up to you, but you don't need them in your backyard,
right?
You know, so to speak. But, you know, let me give you a really good example of what you're talking about, you know, as far as everything being viral and you putting up good information. As I said, I've been following you around. Your Authority Black Book is something that I am constantly sending people links to that. I've done it for years. Every time you update that, I'm telling people you need to get this. It's part of your entrepreneurial success library. Do I make anything out of that? Nope, never have, never will. But it's such a great resource that I pass it on every chance I get. So this is exactly what you're saying, right?
Well, and it makes, you know, I'm not bragging about my book, but when you share good resources of any kind, it makes you look better. And knowing that about, knowing that people have that need, we all do. I love sharing stuff that somebody else did a great job on that's going to make me look good for linking to it. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't something that I created, but I was present. I was doing my research, and I have a bunch of things coming through, like Friend Feed and the Google Reader, and the sources of information that I pay attention to are really quality sources. And when I find quality among that, like it stands out, over and above the average level of high quality, I share that stuff, and I get social points for that. And you get social points for sharing whatever it is that's really that you know people are going to react to well. There's already enough social proof of that for you to recommend the Black Book. You've seen all the testimonials and all that kind of stuff, so you know that people are going to really react well to that, and it helps you to recommend good things. Mm-hmm. And people don't understand that. That's not making me any money. Why would I do that? Because the next time that you do ask people to do something, it's kind of like, I call it Pavlov's blog instead of dog. And if you teach people that almost every time you post something on, say, Twitter, and definitely on your blog, but you're asking people to click links, and they click links and they're continually rewarded. Every single time they click on a link, or most of the time, they find something really, really cool. They find something new, something they've been wondering about, have questions about, whatever. Then the time that you put something in there that you're asking for something, which is like 10% of the time or less, 90% of the time you're sharing, you get vastly more conversion. You get vastly more action on those kinds of links. Let's just, like, you post about all kinds of stuff, and then one time you post out of all of that stuff a really important post that you spent a long time on your blog. Every single person that follows you is used to clicking and finding really, really great information. Now, you have to live up to that, too. So if you're going to post something that comes back to your blog, it has to be on the par of what you've been sharing with them. And if it is, you're going to get a lot more clicks on that day than you would if you constantly promoted yourself all the time. People will then also learn the opposite. I don't need to click on his links because all he does is promote himself. And you're going to get one or two clicks on links like that at a time, or none, where if you hold everything back and you provide lots and lots of value, it's just builds up this reservoir of the need to reciprocate at some point. And so if you put a link out there that says, I really recommend this course, and it's an affiliate link, you're going to get a lot more people interested in that. Everybody's going to click. And it's not going to appeal to everyone, but they're still not going to be mad at you for posting an affiliate link or anything like that. They're like, okay, well, he's got to pay the bills. He's got to keep the lights on. I'm not interested in this product. It seems like a really good one, but, you know, I'll wait for tomorrow's link, which will be something about, you know, something free, and I'm not going to unfollow or anything like that.
Right.
So you don't lose anybody, but you gain a lot. And you've got everybody thinking that you're just awesome. And that's what you want. That's exactly what you want. And then, you know, when it comes time to call in that favor for all that awesomeness that you've created for yourself, then you just get a lot more people involved, a lot bigger conversion. This goes for email marketing, too. It's an old email marketing tactic, really. You just, if you have a newsletter, an email newsletter, you just give and give and give and give and give. Now, a lot of people don't follow this anymore, but the people who do are still benefiting from email and email newsletters by just putting out great articles, putting out great information, and every once in a while they do a pay-the-bills kind of deal, and nobody minds. They're like, okay, I understand this is a business, but you've given so much. I'm going to take a look at what you're offering. And they get really, really good conversions that way.
you've essentially, to kind of boil it down to its bare essentials, you've created a fan base.
Right. Yeah, and they'll go anywhere. They'll do whatever you, speaking of fan base, I got on Eben Pagan's latest training, and I did a webinar. And he and I discovered that we're both kind of rockers in the old days, and I was a drummer, and he's a guitar player, and we were talking about
that.
Stuff, and I was talking about a new concert that I'm going to from a favorite band of mine. And so the training, and then we got into the training, and the recording was done, and, all his people listened to it, and I got an email from somebody saying, I heard this, and this is that human factor. This is that thing that really makes real fans. This person was like, I liked your training, but I heard you mention this band, and my daughter works for that band. She drives the publicity van for that band. And would you like anything? Would you need any, would you like a signed poster, backstage passes, anything like that? And I'm like, holy cow, what is this? This is awesome. I mean, we made some sales from this. We made, just the average regular stuff that after a while, believe it or not, is business as usual, and you get used to that. It's not every single day like Christmas. It's what you expect. I mean, you put your time and effort in, and you know, based on the past, how well that should do. So sales-wise, business-wise, yeah, whatever. That was fine. Coolest thing to come out of it was this guy contacting me, and I'm just sitting here right now. I just opened up the package, and there's, and stickers and a five-hour DVD collection of them live in two different cities, and it's just really, really cool. And so, I reciprocate. I gave this guy a lifetime membership to Blog Success. And, I don't see that relationship dying ever in the future. Mm-hmm. And that was just one connection. But these kinds, not this kind. I mean, this is rare. But, if I wasn't out there and I wasn't doing it, if I wasn't out there providing value and using all my different all the different things that are available to me to reach out and connect with people, if all I did was sit on my own site and create content and wonder where all the people are, which a lot of people still do. They're like, I put up my blog, and blogs are supposed to get a bunch of traffic, mm-hmm. and they're supposed to get in the search engines. And, and my first question is, what have you done off your site, off-site? What have you done off-site? You're not done just because you put up great content. That used to be enough. It's not enough anymore. You have to...
You're never done.
Reach out.
Yeah. Are you going to share the name of the band? I'm curious.
Government Mule.
All right.
Warren Haynes from the Allman Brothers. And he's got solo stuff, and Government Mule is their little band nowadays, and they're just awesome. It's my favorite kind of music. And
yeah.
So, yeah, man, I'll see them Fraze Pavilion in Dayton or around Dayton in July.
Very
so
nice.
That's going to be awesome.
And you're going to be blogging about that, I'm sure.
I probably will. I'm going to be throwing up some pictures because if we get backstage, I will definitely be bragging about that.
Please do. Well, while we're on the subject of Twitter, you've mentioned Twitter a couple of times. What are your favorite Twitter tools? I mean, I understand how Twitter works, but I'm getting a lot of questions from people who are they'll just email me, Denise, I'm on Twitter, but nothing's happening. How do I follow people? What do I do now? So can you address that very quickly? I mean, what do you suggest for Twitter? Because people seem to really, and Twitter, of course, is exploding all over the news. How do people really harness the power of Twitter, in your opinion?
Oh, darn it. Hold on. Phone. All right. Sorry about that.
I have a cat that just came in here and started yelling. I had to shoot him.
A cat owns. This is real life, people. If you want reality TV, this is it. Without, the pictures.
We are entrepreneurs. This is how we do it.
Well, keep it simple. Twitter is very, 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 very popular, and everybody loves it. And programmers are creating third-party applications like crazy, and they have been for well over a year. Just it's been insane. It just seems like a new app for Twitter comes out every day. It's slowed down a little bit because people are starting to run out of ideas for what to do. And somebody can come to Twitter and then click on a link that says, here's how you use Twitter, or here's one of those, you know, dreaded lists at Mashable, all the different apps you can use for Twitter. And somebody will look at that and go, I have to use all this stuff just to use Twitter? No.
That's exactly right. It's overload, and I'm getting some very panicky calls from people saying, oh, my God. Literally, that's how they say it. What do I do now? Take a breath. Calm down. It'll be okay. So what do you tell them?
I tell them use TweetDeck. It's a free application, and you can use it. I believe it's even for Mac now. And it's a desktop application. One of the things that you learn about Twitter is that the power users never go to twitter.com/mine, bin the web, or you never use Twitter that way. The reason that people are so crazy about Twitter is that they've learned how to use it in a whole different, bigger way. And that's what mystifies most people. They look at Twitter and they're like, what the heck is everybody talking about? This is 140 characters, and inevitably somebody's going to say something about breakfast, and they're like, this is stupid. I don't understand why everybody's so into it. And in fact, it's really a faith-based thing. If all these people are into it, I'll be into it. I just don't know why I'm into it. And that's what most of the people who use Twitter are there feeling right now. And they're thinking, Oprah's on here, Larry King's on here, everybody's on here. All my friends are on here. I just don't know what I'm doing here. How does this help my business? And if you use a tool like TweetDeck, you start to get to understand how useful this can be. And it's really just an experience thing. So the first assignment is go download TweetDeck and use that. Now, don't just think that that's the only way to use it. That's the way I use it. And I think most of the power users use TweetDeck. But there are other things. You can go to peoplebrowser.com. It's B-R-O-W-S-R. There's no E in the end. peoplebrowser.com. And you can do everything on the web, the same thing that you can do on TweetDeck, only PeopleBrowser is a little bit more alive. Now, the first thing you want to do with PeopleBrowser, to see the power of Twitter and to really feel like you are some sort of information overlord with your own little NORAD system, just being able to plug into the pulse of the Internet at any given moment live, type in Obama or some celebrity's name, and they call them panels. So if you just click on the little search thing when you go to People Browser and log in, you can type in anything. And that will plug you into every single person on Twitter who's talking about that, and the thing just scrolls like crazy. And the cool thing about that is you finally start to realize that this is extremely active, massive, massive community. If you only knew how to tap into it, which you've just now done with People Browser or TweetDeck, you can now start to see these conversations. You can start to see how alive it is. It's not static. It's not 5 minutes ago. It's right now. It's live search. It's live conversations going on from people all over the world on different topics, issues, and things. And when you start following the topics and keywords and things like that, you start to see how this may come into play. Because the next thing you're going to inevitably do is type in your own keyword. Type in, you know, what it is that you do. Horse training, whatever the heck it is. Dog training. Here I am on the training kick again. But
Cat corralling.
Cat, yeah. Cat, anything
cat
to do with cats. You will start to see everybody, those millions and millions and millions of people on Twitter. Of that millions and millions, there will be a surprising number, I guarantee you, talking about your issue, unless it's totally obscure. And then if you're in business with an obscure issue, then you've got a problem. But typically, I'm going to assume that everybody on this call has gone into a business or a niche that has enough people that would be interested in it to be enough for them to have customers. So assuming that, you're going to start seeing some things where you can make a dent. In Twitter, you can start to go, well, I'm going to follow this person. Not only that, but I'm going to answer their question. They just had a question about what I know the most about, what I'm an expert in. I'm just going to follow them, and then I'm going to answer their question for them. They just said, how do I find blah, blah, blah? Or we have a network of local search domains called Directory Network Association, and I've told every single one of the owners of every one of the domains all over the world that we have when somebody, I show them how to use Twitter for search, and anytime, like the person in Seattle who owns directoryofseattle.com, anytime somebody says in Twitter, I'm in Seattle looking for a cafe, looking for a Starbucks, which I can't imagine anybody would have to have directions because they're on every corner, but you know, looking for something, you go immediately and answer that with a link back to your directory, of course, and they're all out there doing that right now. Hundreds and hundreds of people are out there doing that right now, helping people on Twitter. Just this one social network, just this one type of way to get in with people and make connections and do things. And that's the power of the social web. We never, ever, ever had anything like this. Everything was, you know, it took 3 months to get a page in Google at one point get it ranked. It took everything was like months old by the time it got popular on the web. Now something can get popular in 2 to 3 hours. The news about the plane going down in the Hudson was broken on Twitter. Those were the first people. Twitter was the first to put it out there. CNN picked it up and everybody else after that. And everybody just assumes CNN knows everything. And, well, CNN is watching Twitter and the social web. And all the newsmakers are watching it because we can do it faster than they can. We learn things faster than they do, and it spreads like crazy.
And taking off on a slightly different tack, you know, you don't need to just answer conversations, and Twitter is a giant conversation. But you can also take a look at these different topics and things, and you can pull ideas for writing an article or posting a blog. I mean, you can just come up with a tremendous number of ideas to create info products, you know, just by following some of these conversations and some of these requests for information. So it's really where you need to be to find out what people are talking about, what their needs are.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's live. And this whole live search thing is really interesting because Google, you know, if you've been using Google for 10 years, you've had and you've gotten into social media, you have a whole different idea about Google search results now. You can type something in Google and look at the search results, and if you're using social media, you're using Twitter and all these other things, and you know what's going on right now in your niche, those results look old and stale, and because it took time to get there. It took a lot of time to get there, even though it can take only, you know, 3 or 4 days if the right site with enough strength publishes something on a topic, you know, they can go into the top 10 in Google pretty quickly. But, you know, pretty quickly by yesterday's standards. By today's standards, not at all. The first thing that I want to do for most of the searches in Google now is go to Google Blog Search. I go up to the More tab at the top, and I go down to Blogs, because that's live. And if anybody has talked about anything on a topic recently, very, very recently, as in a minute ago, then it's going to be in Blog Search, if any bloggers have talked about it. And then the next thing I'll do is I'll go to Twitter and find out what people are saying about certain things. And I find that I want to know things that are current, and I really distrust. I'm putting more and more in my Google search results 2009 to try to make the results a little bit more fresh myself. I have to, you know, I don't trust some of the stuff that I'm getting, and my industry and a lot of industries are like this. I have to know the most up-to-date stuff, and that's what people eventually pay me for, is to be the guy who knows what's going on right now, so that they don't have to be as hardcore of a researcher as I am. You know, I save people time by doing it and then reporting on it. And if I'm a good filter for them, if I make good picks, just like a stock guy or whatever, if I show them good picks consistently, they'll more than happily pay me when it's gone over what I'd normally do, and I have to create a product that says, you know, it's just a lot more work. And they're more than happy to do that, as long as you're, again, that really good filter that other people trust and can use to skip doing all the stuff that you do themselves.
Absolutely. So what do you suggest people do when they want to engage in a successful online social networking campaign? What steps do they need to take? What should they do first?
Well, again, just do the simple stuff. Just do the most obvious stuff. Do the big stuff that, you know, go for the biggest groups out there. And you know,
so
the biggest
Facebook,
groups.
LinkedIn, Twitter.
Yeah. Just start with that, because that 20% is going to get you the 80% of your results. That's where most of the people are hanging out. And then you just drill down. Like at Facebook, you would go, once you get started with Facebook and everything, you get yourself set up, the next thing you want to do is go check out what groups are formed around your keywords. People who are interested in the stuff that that you do, or interested in stuff that's related to products or services that you provide, or affiliate products that you're associated with. And just join those groups and get active, but not so active that all you're doing all day long is social media, because the rest of your business and your other responsibilities will suffer. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, I think this is the best way to tell people to you know, get them to chill out a little bit about this stuff. Some people, and I realize this is a problem with type A personalities. I'm a type B, you know, I'm pretty casual about things.
No, you're not.
Well, I'm not a type A, that's for sure. And, you know, they'll see this stuff scrolling by on Twitter and they'll freak out. They're like, oh my God, I can't read it. It's too fast. How do I slow it down? I got to be able to read every single word that comes by. You know, don't.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Do not do that. And don't worry about how many people you follow or who follow you, and I can't keep up with all this stuff. It's not meant to be kept up on. I am not looking at my Twitter right now. There are great conversations going on of the group of people that I follow. I am absolutely sure of that. Every time I tune into Twitter, I find something new. I find something to check out that somebody else is recommending that I'm following. But I'm not worried about it. I'm not freaking out. My hand isn't shaking, and I'm not thinking, how can I get off this interview so I can go check Twitter? It's there, and it's something for you to dip into whenever you want. And I know that, and this isn't necessarily a bad thing. You know, in the beginning, you'll spend a lot more time on it because it's so fun and it's so cool. And when these doors start opening up and you start to see what can be done with it, I wouldn't want anybody to be forced to exercise their restraint at that time. The first time I got really into Twitter, I spent a couple of weeks, and it was just about all I was thinking about. But I learned so much in that couple of weeks that I'm still living off of that. And after I've calmed down about it and realized that, you know, it's always there, and there's nothing you can do about, you know, the internet and the billions of conversations that are going on. It's going on right now, and it's flying past at a blinding speed. And what we do as business people is we dip into it, just like you dip a cup in the river to get a drink before rivers were so polluted. And, you know, then you go boil it. Anyway, this isn't polluted. Well, it actually is. There's spam you got to filter through and everything else. So it's a good analogy, Jack. Good job.
It is. I was just going to say that's great. I might kind of borrow it from you. I'll give you credit, but I am.
But you just take a drink, and that sustains your business. It, you know, sometimes it doesn't taste too good. You didn't get anything out of it. It wasn't really rewarding. That happens. This isn't just a home run game. There's trial and error, and there's really just the easiest way to get it through to people. What's important is to just be present. Just be there.
Right.
And be there on your own time. Get the rest of your job done as a marketer, the things that you need to do, update your content, all those kinds of things. Use these tools to find really great things to talk about as well. Find what's really the hottest issue with the people who are your best customers, and use it to go back to your blog and put that content up, your feelings about it or a resource list about it or whatever it might be, and, you know, just dip in. Dip your cup in the river whenever you have the time and the need to increase your business.
Well, I think if people will take the step back and look at it as what it is, which is a business tool and not a lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people just go, oh, my God, I must do this all the time. Oh, my gosh. And it's a business tool. It's a very effective tool, but it is a tool. So I have another quick question here. I know people are just totally getting overwhelmed with all the information and the sites they belong to, and we've kind of covered that. Where would someone, you know, if people have limited time, and I hear a lot of that, I'm sure you do, it's like, I only have 5 hours a week to devote to this. So where do I go? What's the best place for me to start? I think 5 hours is nothing, but it's a start. So where do they go? What should they do first?
Just make sure you have your accounts at the places we talked about. I like StumbleUpon, too. Most people don't talk about it anymore, but StumbleUpon is a really good place to go. And I would just, you know, I would do something that would other people might think was just totally wasting your 5 hours, but it's not. It's actually, we work so hard at our craft, at getting attention on the web, getting links, selling products, dealing with customers, all that kind of stuff, that we end up using the web in a completely different way than everybody else does. If you don't have a business or a vanity site or anything like that, you know, the only thing that you're doing is being social, you're looking for news, you're looking for entertainment and things like that. You surf in a completely different way than people who have a business, because everything we're doing is looking for angles. We're always looking for angles for our business. And what I would tell people to do is get signed up on these big basic services, these great big ones, and spend the 5 hours trying your very best to take your marketing hat off and just be a regular person on the internet. It's one of the things that marketers just don't ever allow themselves to do. And you lose sight of what – you lose opportunities like crazy when you put the blinders on and you're always looking for angles. Well, your filter might be completely screwed up, so you're never going to really find a good angle because you're looking at it in the wrong way. You need to always be looking at the internet and the services that people use and what makes people, you know, click and all that kind of stuff. You need to look at that, but you also need to just be a surfer. Allow yourself also to just go and, this is kind of an aside, but when it comes to marketing, we look at sales letters and sales processes and funnels differently, too. We're like, well, I don't need to do this. I know exactly what this person's doing, and I don't need to look at their next page. I'm just going to take the freebie, and I'm not going to go and look at the one-time offer or whatever, and that's just an example, but whatever it is, don't assume you know everything, and look at what people are doing, what people in your market are doing to make sales, to do things, and especially in the social world, if those people are there, what are they doing? If they've been there longer than you, they've probably figured out some stuff that would really benefit you. And so, you know, when you do have your marketer hat on and you're just looking for angles and you're looking for tips and tactics and things, the best people to follow around are your competition and people who have been there before you. And see what they're doing. How often do they interact on Twitter? Does it look like they're phoning it in, like they use tweetlater.com and they just put a 500 facts in and they just loop that and it looks like they're on Twitter all the time when they're not? Or are they really taking a personal interest, or is there a combination of the two? And look and see if they're doing it 2 weeks from now. It's just like classified ads and Google AdWords. If it's still there 2 weeks from now, then there's a good chance that it's working for them. And you might, they might be doing something that you'd like to mirror yourself in the way that you run your Twitter account or Facebook or whatever else. But the number one thing is just be a surfer. Allow yourself to surf the web and be interested. Go look at your interests once in a while. That's something that's really hard for me to do. This whole band thing has gotten me over to that band's website, and I realized I don't do this that often. I don't go looking for music. I don't go looking for a lot of things that regular average people do. Everything I do on the web has been business, 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 business.
You are talking my language. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so you got to break out of that.
Yeah, you do. I mean, it just doesn't occur because, you know, and I think we do miss an awful lot of opportunities by being, I want to say, you know, laser focused, but we're just so passionate about what we do, and it doesn't occur to us to do anything different. So sometimes you do have to just kind of step out, and you're absolutely correct. Jack, we talked about the Authority Black Book. Tell people where to go to get that, because that is a huge resource, and they need to have that.
AuthorityBlackBook.com.
Okay. If y'all don't have it, download it. How many times have you updated that book?
I don't know. It came out in 2007, and, man, it's been several updates. The latest one was this year, early first quarter this year, so it's updated to 2009, and it's very difficult to keep a publication like that up. That's a Web 2.0 like publication because it has to be updated all the time.
Yeah.
Because things change so fast. Everything moves so fast. And, you know, when I first put it out there, there were a lot of startups that are here no longer, and I had to, you know, that's some of the addition edits that you have to do is when you keep up on this stuff, things change so fast. And I've often thought about turning the site into the book so that it's easier to just go in and edit things. In fact, turn it into a blog so I can really make it easy to edit things. But people like books, you know, and a lot of people I asked about that said they'd still prefer to have the book.
Well, I print it out every time there's a different version, I print it.
I thought it was really cool. There was a conference that I went to, and I can't remember which one, but I'd asked in the crowd, I asked how many of you have the Authority Black Book, and I was trying to figure out, you know, it was right in the middle of that big summer when that was released, and I thought, I don't know if enough people here would know about it, and there's a whole bunch of people held the printed version. I don't even have a printed. I've never printed it out myself. And they held up these printed versions of them, big, thick, single-sided things. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. I'd like to see that because I've never seen it in print.
Well, I still have all my original versions. I don't even give those up. The reason why is because they're dog-eared. They're annotated. You know, they have yellow marks all over them. You know, pages folded down. So I'm not giving those things up. They're like my little Bible. So, Jack, let's talk about Ning sites. I know I'm a member of one of your Ning sites. I think you just have the one.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really gaining a huge foothold in the social marketing. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, they're instant social communities of your own around any topic that you'd like to start one. So what I did was I attached it to – well, I made it appear as though it was attached to my site at jackhumphrey.com, and in reality it's not. It's social marketing – socialauthority.ning.com. So you get a subdomain on there, whatever you name it, it's that.ning.com. And you can actually have that transferred to your domain, but you have to keep up with the updates, and you have to be kind of technical. So the thing is, I wanted to do it because I needed a social community, and I didn't want to deal with updates and technical stuff or anything. And I also wanted to see what it would be like to sponge off of the popularity of the Ning network itself, because I knew it was growing at the time, and it's now grown to massive proportions. And I knew that links from that would be better than having it on my domain. So, and that turned out to be true. So I tell everybody, just leave it there. Just start your community there and then link from your site to that. And but it just allows you to take your design and everything over there and set up a community that looks like a part of your site. You know, most people won't even look at the address bar to know that they've gone to a Ning domain. And they just start interacting. And there's forums, and everybody gets a blog if you want them to. You can set that to your liking. And people really, really love to be social. And so, you know, there's problems with that. You're opening up a big can of worms. You can't just go start a Ning site and think, well, this is cool. I'll just let all these guys talk, and I'll just come in here every once in a while and market or give them updates on products and services or whatever. That doesn't happen. The community can die. They want to hear from their founders. That's why a lot of them are there, or at least they're there for the keyword that they found it under. I'm going to go join this community. It looks like a bunch of people are here talking about horses or whatever. And, you know, you should have some welcome messages. They start to realize you're the person behind the site. And then if you start not showing up very often, everything starts to go stale. Now, that doesn't happen on every single topic. I see, you know, people just kind of taking over and making these sites their own, which is great for you because they're creating content and they're creating links and, uploading photos and videos and audios and all this kind of stuff, and it kind of runs itself and it keeps growing. Well, that's fine if that can happen for you, but you should be prepared to spend some time moderating. People will get pretty spammy in those sites. Spammers know that you can go to Ning and do the same thing on every single Ning site. And so they can create programs to sign themselves up under some name that has numbers and dashes in it, which is the first indication, and and then post in the same exact way on every single site, which means that they can just push a button and spam tons and tons of Ning sites. So you have to, and other people are real people, they just don't know they don't know your rules. And everybody's got rules on self-promotion and things like that. And whatever yours are, you're going to have to enforce those. But they're great for building community. I mean, you can bring a lot of people into that. And for a lot of people, this is the biggest thing they've done. Ning facilitates it. People have an instant trust because it's on the Ning network that if your community is on there, I'm going to join it and check it out. This looks like something interesting to me. And then there's people and there's immediate connections going on as soon as you get in. People start making you a friend. People start talking to you, asking you questions. And so if you're a new person coming into one of these networks, you feel really welcome and a part of something. And it tends to be a very sticky site, meaning people stick around on it for quite a while and talk to each other. And so, you know, mine is everybody's there around my topic, and they're all interested mm-hmm. in the same stuff. And so it's pretty cool because it's like having a party, and you don't even always have to be there. You just pop in and see how everybody's doing and contribute your content just like they do. But there's always something going on in this community that you've created, and it's very easy to do. You don't have to be techie at all to start a Ning site.
Right. I actually created one for myself, and I did exactly what you say because I follow you around. And I started to call it, it's called Virtual Assistance Industry. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I do own that name. I might as well just go ahead and move it over. And I thought, no, I'm going to leave the Ning on there. Jack said I can't, so I'm going to. Now, I'm signed into thesocialauthority.ning.com. You have a lot of members in this thing.
Well, you know, one of the things that you want to think about when you start this is that I wouldn't start a Ning site unless you know what you're going to start it around. I mean,
right.
Absolutely know what you're going to start it around, what you're going to call it, and that it's big enough to draw a big enough crowd, a big enough issue, that enough people are interested in that it warrants having a community. Mine is around, you know, getting links, getting traffic, marketing yourself on the web. There's so much subtext in all of that. There's so many subtopics, sub-issues in all of those big issues that you could carry on conversations, hundreds of different conversations. If that is you, if you can broaden your niche out enough to have it sounding like that, that there's a lot of potential for different kinds of conversations, that it's not too niche-oriented, that people really can only feel restricted to talking about one or two issues, then you've got something. Then you've got a site you can attract a lot of people to. So when people go looking for social marketing, which this one was one of the first at the Ning network, there's a directory and everything, and people that join Ning look for different communities to belong to. And it really helped that it was a fairly broad topic that people could come in and have a lot of different backgrounds and interests for being there, and that helps you build a bigger community, helps attract more people.
Yeah,
there are communities on there that have tons more members, though. I mean, compared to those niches, this one is extremely tightly themed. Mine is. Because there's some really, really big communities on Ning.
There are. And I have joined a couple of those, but found really rather quickly that I got totally lost. You know, I really felt like I was just way, way down at the bottom of the fish bucket. So
yeah.
They take a little bit more work, I think, but that's just my observation. Jack, we have a couple of questions in the chat room. We have a couple of comments, too. One was from Rebecca. She says, thanks for the download because I sent the Black Book site. She said, we'll read this weekend, going to attempt to convert and add to my new Kindle. So there you go. You're going to be on a Kindle. And the sales guy, that sales guy says, thank you for your Black Book. Question, do you have a tip on how to see those who subscribe to your RSS feed, or do you need to create a Join My List to know who your fellow blog followers are?
You need both because they're two completely different purposes. There's two completely different tools. Somebody will join your email list, and you can set your email list if you use AWeber or a service like that, and they are actually subscribed to your RSS feed. My blog, if you join my list with the traditional put your name in and your email in, I can mail to you newsletters, but frequently what I do is just let my blog run the news itself. And in AWeber, for instance, you would just set it up with their RSS feature. Do you want us to mail out when your blog has made so many posts, or do you want us to mail out every Friday, or, you know, and you can do that. And all it does is takes all the posts that you've made since the last time it mailed out and puts them in a nice HTML format, which you can control, so the look and feel looks exactly like your site or how you want it to look, and it goes out. And so you have a newsletter that's on autopilot. All you're still doing is just blogging, and the news goes out. And if you have any need, you know, a new product or service or something, you can always mail that list, and that's pretty much what I do. So I let the news be what I put up on the blog to remind people to come back, and they do. Every time an FTR announcement goes out from AWeber, that's just a compilation of my blog posts since the last time, my traffic goes way up. Repeat visitors are a really big staple in this business. You don't want just one-time visitors. You want readership, and that really helps it. It reminds people who are very busy, and I don't blame them for having ADD, because we all do on the Internet, and, you know, they need reminders. Oh, crap, Jack's probably posted a lot of stuff since last week, and you know, here it is. Yep, I missed that. I'm going to go check it all out. So nice. That's really good. But there are other people who just want to be anonymous, and they just want to subscribe to your RSS feed and Google Reader or whatever. So you still have to have that capability there too, which is your little orange RSS link. Mm-hmm. And to be able to tell who's on it, it's not very easy. You have to go into you really should convert your feed over to FeedBurner, which Google owns now.
Yeah.
And then you'll have some tools to be able to tell a little bit more about what people are doing with your feed, how many are generally subscribed, although it doesn't capture everything. But you won't get names and addresses or anything like that. It's just going to say, we think there's 1,000 people subscribed to you in Google Reader, and we think there are 50 people subscribed to you with blog lines. And then it can tell you, you know, different stats about what people are clicking on, the most popular thing that you sent out in RSS recently, and the thing that didn't get any clicks. But that's about as far as you can go as knowing what's going on with your RSS feed.
And FeedBurner is free, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody wants to convert to that, it's absolutely a free tool, and I really suggest that you go ahead and do it. So one last question, and we may have covered this in you know, maybe a scattered kind of a way, but how can one person do the work of just what seems like an entire team in social networking? In other words, how do you appear to be everywhere at all times in your social network of sites? I mean, how do you aggregate? How do you automate some of this?
Well, there's if you go to jackhumphrey.com and click on the blog link, there's a little search thing that called Legit, L-I-J-I-T, and I recommend that as your search tool. I would replace whatever search comes with WordPress with that, absolutely, because it's just really accurate, and I get to see stats on what people search and everything. But it's a really cool tool. But I want you to use it just to type in FriendFeed Webinar. FriendFeed is all one word, FriendFeed Webinar. And you will get to the posts that I made where you can download a 90-minute webinar on what I do to appear as if I'm everywhere. And I use FriendFeed as one of my major hubs. It allows you to get information from all over the web. Anything that's an RSS feed, you can collect on your friend feed, and it's a community like Twitter. You can talk on friend feed just like Twitter, but you can have one place where you get everything, just everything, all the news that you need to know, all the links that you really need to pay attention to, all the thought leaders and bloggers that you need to pay the most attention to in your niche. So that you're just up on everything, and having that as your resource allows you to post to really good stuff to a lot of different places. Another way to look like you're everywhere is to use a plugin in WordPress called PingPress FM, and it works with the service ping.fm. Just type in ping.fm, and that's the URL. Sign up for that, and sign up for all the different services that makes sense for you to sign up, that Ping FM posts to. And at any time, you can go to Ping FM and type in the same thing you would type in Twitter or Facebook or friend feed individually and have Ping FM send it out to your entire network, to every single microblog service out there and that you can imagine. And it does it all at once. So that's how you appear like you're everywhere. If you use PingPress FM as a plug-in for WordPress, then every single time you post to your blog, it goes to Ping FM for you and posts what you just posted on your blog everywhere around the web, everywhere. And your RSS feed, get that on as many places that it will allow it. You know, Mashable.com is an example of a profile that you can build for yourself where you can add your own feed of your blog to it. And so when people come to your profile, they see your latest blog posts, and that updates itself automatically. Every time you post to your blog, when you have enough of this stuff set up, the entire internet that you control gets updated at the same time. And that's another way, you know, when people are just starting out and they don't know that stuff, they post to their blog the same kind of thing that I do, and I get vastly different results. Well, this is one of the reasons why, is that a lot of stuff is happening when I hit the publish button. I am not just posting to my blog. I'm updating hundreds and hundreds of other sites at the same exact time.
Right. That is perfect information. So I'm trying to type this into the chat room. We had people online who, in the switchboard, who had their hands up. They wanted to get on, and we lost them. Everybody is gone. In fact, I just got a note in the chat room says, I just lost audio. So that's kind of unusual. So we did have people who wanted to ask questions, and unfortunately, they're not going to be able to, and I'm so sorry. But
well,
anyway, Jack,
that happens. We live in a weird little technological world.
It does, and Blog Talk Radio is free. It's another one of those great free services, so I am not complaining.
Mm.
So do you have any last-minute recommendations that you would like to make?
That people keep listening to you, for one, because look at the quality of guests you've got today.
I'm telling you.
I'm so humble.
You
I hope everybody knows I'm kidding when I do that stuff.
I tell people that, you know, I'm the best there is. I'm the best virtual assistant. I'm a virtual assistance industry expert. And I'm really modest. So,
I'm virtually the best there is.
There you go. We're going to have to edit this part out.
Yeah. Nah,
so
leave it in. If they can't take it, if they don't understand, that's just a great filter. You know, you can't make everybody happy.
Yeah, well, you have to have a sense of humor to do what we do, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I am so thankful that you came on this show today. I mean, you've really answered a lot of questions. The chat room was very busy. And I know that this call is going to be downloaded a lot. I'll post it on my blogs and everywhere else. But I would love to have you back as a guest in the future.
Absolutely.
Oh, great, 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 great. Well, thank you so much for being here today. You've given us great information, as I said earlier. And I know that our listeners appreciate it as much as I do. We'll have you back again soon. And thank you, everybody, for being here. The show will be available for download in roughly an hour. This is Denise Griffiths and Jack Humphrey wishing you a wonderful weekend. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Denise.
Okay, bye-bye.